used to be a beggar and a slave, begging for forgiveness, enslaved by sin's chains. Then you came and you ransomed me. You paid the price for me to be set free. Now I no longer am the same. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away, and I have your very life in me. Controlling, guiding, and protecting me. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life paid in full. When I look upon the cross where they nailed you to that tree, I'm in awe of what it is I see. Where others see a bloody mess, the magnitude I must confess is how one so perfect could become sin for me. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life paid in full. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life. You paid in full.
That was just plain lovely. Thank you, Vicky. A couple of announcements before we get started. This Friday night is Friday Night Live, featuring the beloved Pastor Terry Gump and a special guest. Right? Special guest? He's special, all right. Greg Seligman. You don't want to miss it. So everybody come, would you? We'll have a great time. And if you want something to eat, bring something. Because we'll have a time of food and fellowship that follows. That's all F's, FFF, food and fellowship that follows. And secondly, the ladies' seminar is upon us. September's here. 5 sessions. Judy can't wait. With Judy Seligman. And this year's seminar is entitled The Weaker Vessel. The Weaker Vessel? Question mark. And she sent me a picture. It was a woman dressed in work clothes with her arm up like this, says, "We can do it." But that's not what the seminar is about. It's about, yeah, we can do it all right. Was that who that was? Rosie the Riveter. Okay. Yes, I know her. She used to run the jackhammer for the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Thursdays. Oh, the Friday Night Live is at 7:30 this coming Friday. Ladies Seminar is Thursdays at 7:30, September 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. So Judy, you better get studying. get ready. Okay, that's it. That takes care of our announcements. Now our message for today. I've entitled the message today, A Few Good Men. I happened to watch that movie recently, and it has nothing to do with the movie. Maybe a little bit, but not too much. It's Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. In John 19:30, it says, Therefore, when Jesus had received the vinegar, sour wine is vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word translated, the Greek word translated, it is finished, is tetelestai, as most of you know. If you heard it once, you heard it 1,000 times. We're going to hear it again and again. Never has one word been invested with such infinite and important meaning. Never has it ever been invested with such meaning. Never has any word moved heaven and earth as this word has. Found only once in the scripture, tetelestai. It makes it worthy of our lifelong quest to grasp its ultimate truth. By it, the fullness of eternal salvation by pure grace and through mere faith is ours as a free and irrevocable gift. By it, the finished work of Christ, sin has been condemned, and the sinner has been saved and set free. By it, the finished work of Christ, the righteousness of God is reckoned to faith alone, in Christ alone, and the justice of God is infinitely and forever satisfied with the work, the finished work of Christ. Satan is defeated, and his works are destroyed. In 1 John 3:8, Son of God was manifest so he might destroy the works of the devil. The law is fulfilled, and all of the works it demanded have been finished and provided. All that needed done for God's acceptance and man's acceptability was done by Jesus Christ. And nothing can be added to that, nor can anything be taken away. If it's true, and it is, that it is finished, then nothing remains undone. Don't you wish that was true? It is true. More so than we know. We can fathom. See, that's what we're here for, to learn what that means. Jesus used to say to his disciples, after he got tired of explaining every little thing and feeding them with an eyedropper, would say, go and learn what this means. You go learn what it means. I can only say things so many times and tell people so many times the same things over and over again, and I say, go learn what it means. Go learn. Ask your questions to God. Stop asking people. Ask God. Seek your solutions from God. Ask your questions of God and seek your solutions from God. And guess what? You'll know the truth, and it will make you free. It's your will. So, when Moses finished the work of the tabernacle in the wilderness, we're told, which is a picture of Christ tenting among us. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and literally tented or tabernacled among us. When Moses finished the work of building the tabernacle in the wilderness, the glory of God, we're told, filled the tabernacle so that no flesh could enter in. When Solomon finished the work, dedicated the temple that he built in Jerusalem, it tells us that the glory of God filled the temple, and the priests could not enter to minister. When Jesus finished the work of redemption on the cross, The veil was rent, you know that, in the temple, a 3-foot thick goat's hair veil from the top to the bottom that sealed out the Holy of Holies, sealed man out of the Holy of Holies. It was rent from the top to the bottom. An earthquake cracked and shifted the foundation of Herod's temple, the temple in Jerusalem. Moreover, the gates, the doors, and the windows of heaven swung wide open to receive again the Lord of glory, the King, strong and mighty. That's from Psalm 24. And to admit any and all who would believe in Christ as the one and only Savior of mankind. Acts 4:12. For there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't you love that verse? He's the one and only Savior of mankind. When Moses was in Mount Sinai receiving the law, he asked to see the Lord and to see his glory. And the Lord told him, no one can see me. No one can see my glory and live. This being true, the glory of God seen in the finished work of Christ is so great that it kills you. If you really see it, it'll kill you. And at the same moment, raise you from the dead and make you a brand new creature in Christ. I trust that's happened for each of us. Remember that day? It's a wonderful day to remember. It was your birthday. He made you a brand new creature. And he did so in order that you might live a life of urgency without any anxiety. How can you be anxious when it's finished? And be transformed without trying, without travail. Urgency without anxiety and transformation without travail. That's only possible if it's finished, and it is. The great privilege that is ours in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is beholding as in a mirror or in a glass the glory of the Lord and being transformed into that same image. From glory to glory, one degree of glory to the next. In his presence, his glory rubs off. So, we are always made to pay close attention, those of us who study the Word of God, when words or forms of words are only found once in a scripture called hapax legomena. In this case, it's not hapax legomena, but it's a form that's only found once of the verb teleo, which means to complete or to finish. And we have tetelestai, which is the dramatic perfect tense, passive, indicative, third person singular of teleo. But it calls attention to that word. Never is this more clearly seen than with our current word, tetelestai, in John 19:30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, we're going to talk about the sour wine too. That's an indignity that he endured for your indignant behavior. He cried or said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit according to Lunida. You know who Lunida is? Well, it's a lexicon. L-O-U-W dash, capital N-I-D-A, lexicon of the New Testament. Teleo means to complete, to end, to finish, to make happen, to obey, that is by completing an assigned task, see something through to the end, to pay taxes or to complete a required payment. Paid in full, he paid in full. Right, Vicky? Okay, see? I got to tie this together for you. In John 19:30, we have one of the most solemn scenes in the entire Bible. Why do I say that? It's God hanging on the cross. dying for your sins, yours and mine. Acts 20:28. He shed his blood. God's blood was shed for the church. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ hanging on the cross, not imputing men's sins. He was imputing the sins of the world to the Son of God hanging on the cross. God in the flesh hanging on the cross. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's almost too much to bear. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Only John, who wrote the Gospel of John, of course, the Apostle John, heard him say it. Therefore, the other Gospels don't contain this quote. He was the only disciple present at the cross. The others fled in fear. "It is finished" is the Greek verb teleo, a common verb, but found only once in its form, in the form we're going to discuss in a moment, which demands our concentration and full attention. Do I have your full attention and concentration this morning? Commit it to God. Just listen, okay? It won't hurt too bad, I promise. But I'm going to break it down for you. Terry loves this. He said, "Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?" Don't you all have that same attitude? I hope so. Please listen, or listen up. Here the verb teleo is a perfect, passive, indicative, third person singular. It's a verb. You know what a verb is? Who knows what a verb is? What does a verb do? So, yeah, very good. Okay, see how intelligent we are, all of us? Verb is an act or action. Word? And here, perfect tense. The perfect tense is a past tense, something that was done at a point in time. And here it's a dramatic perfect tense. It's dramatic because it's an event and a declaration so important that it requires a dramatic pause. As soon as you see it, you've got to go, whoa, stop, something important here, very important here. A dramatic pause or interlude that silences the audience and is so solemn, so sacred, and even shocking, so much so, it can hardly be looked upon or viewed. It is in the perfect tense, which signifies an action fully executed with an ongoing effect as profound as it is permanent. And indeed, it's so where teleos or tetelestai is concerned. It's in the passive voice. That means it's done by someone on behalf of someone else. It's in the indicative mood, which views the action from the standpoint of historical reality. It really happened. And it's third person singular, he, she, or it. Here it is it, because it's referring to "it is finished," the act, referring to the act. The greatest victory cry ever uttered on earth. It is finished. It is complete. It is done. Final. It has happened, been fully obeyed, paid up, or mission accomplished. All of this is certainly wonderful where you and I are concerned. So what do we have to do if indeed it's finished? The only thing we can do, behold, believe, and then be, or let it. Something is either finished or it's not. It can't be finished and unfinished at the same time. They're mutually exclusive, diametrically opposite. It's one or the other. It can't be both. And so a question that can't be asked or answered is, how finished is it? That's like asking a pregnant woman, how pregnant are you? You're either fully pregnant or you're not pregnant at all. Therefore, it's either finished or it's not finished. It serves us well to study John's account of the crucifixion, since he writes as an eyewitness, the only disciple, as I told you, who stood by the cross. John 19:29, not 1930, but 1929, the verse that precedes it. It says, "A jar full of sour wine," or vinegar, was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and literally shoved it in his face. Brought it up to his mouth. That's a nice way of saying it. They shoved it in his face. Such cruelty and disrespect was shown him. There was set a vessel full of vinegar instead of a cup of wine, which they used to give to those who were ready to perish. With this they filled a sponge, not a cup, and they put it on hyssop, a hyssop stalk. And with this they heaved it to his mouth. The word in the Greek is hyssopo peristhentes, which means they stuck it round with hyssop. A sip of water would have cooled his tongue better than a sponge full of vinegar on a stick. Yet this indignity was payment for my indignant disregard of all that is holy. Such treatment, part and parcel of the penalty which is due to me, due to us. What we did deserve such treatment, therefore all comfort and refreshment were withheld from Christ as he paid, as he stood in our place, as he suffered and died instead of us. We had taken the sour grapes, and thus his teeth were set on edge. Now listen carefully, this is very poetic. Ezekiel 18:1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Ezekiel speaking, under inspiration, what do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins will die. This saying, this proverb, was never again to be spoken in Israel, for it would be fulfilled that day, April 4th, 30 AD, and stand finished forever. That is, we ate the grapes and set his teeth on edge. The sky turned dark that day at noon, and when heaven denied him a ray of light, earth denied him a sip of water and put vinegar in his face, in its place. What he said, tetelestai, it is finished, therefore is so pregnant with meaning and depth and life. This one word nearly says it all. It touches everything in heaven and on earth. It is the very heartbeat of God and the ultimate frame of reference. Should be found planted like the cross in the place of your skull, right in the middle of your forehead. So everything you look at, you're cross-eyed, see everything through the cross of Christ. This morning I want to give you 11 effects. We'll get back to them. We're just going to list them for you today, which barely scratch the surface. They don't even begin to scratch the surface. Number one, it is finished. Having resisted sin to the shedding of his blood, Jesus' persecutors had now done their best or their worst, as the case may be. When he had received the last indignity, that is, in the vinegar that they gave him, he said, this is the last. I'm now going out of their reach. Quoting Job 3:17, where the wicked cease from troubling. Job 3:17. Number two, it is finished. That is, his sufferings were now fulfilled. From the predeterminate counsel of God, Acts 2:23, every jot and tittle was fulfilled precisely. This man delivered over by the predeterminate plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Peter's Pentecostal sermon. He had said when he entered his sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there be some other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And now, by tetelestai, it is finished, he is saying, it is done. Your will is done. Isn't that wonderful? After all, finishing the work that the Father gave him to do is his meat and drink. As he told his disciples in John 4:34, he said, I have food to eat that you don't know nothing of. It's to do the will of my Father. And when he had done so, he was filled with joy. In Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, thinking little of the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what do you do when you're finished? Why, you sit down. Hebrews 10:11, every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. That's one and two. Now, here's number three. It is finished. That is, all of the types of prophecies of the Old Testament which pointed to the sufferings of the Messiah were accomplished and answered now that they had given him the vinegar. It's the last one. He could not think of any word in the Old Testament left to be fulfilled, such as his being sold for 30 pieces of silver, being spit upon, slapped, punched, whipped, his beard plucked out, his hands and feet being pierced, his garments divided, etc. And now that this was done, it is finished, is all that could be said. It is finished, number four. That is, the law with its rituals and ceremonies has been once and for all abolished, taken out of the way, made irrelevant, laid off, putting an end to any and all religious obligation. No more religious obligation. All the shadows are done away, as the one who cast a shadow has come and accomplished the mission he was sent to fulfill. And now the veil is rent. The wall of partition is taken down. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, you can read about that in Ephesians 2:14 and 15. The Mosaic economy is dissolved to make way for what the writer to Hebrews calls a better hope. In Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there's a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who only or merely believes, to the Jew as well as the Gentile. It is finished. Number five, it is finished, that is, sin is finished, and an end made of transgression. As Daniel tells us in Daniel 9:24, by the bringing in of an everlasting righteousness. That's what occurred that day. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. John 1:29 and 36, Hebrews 9:26. But once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the offering of himself. It is finished. Number six, that is, his sufferings of body, soul, and spirit were now finished. Death awaits to deliver him from his indescribable pain and agony, and he is about to enter into the joy of his Father, the joy set before him. Number seven, it is finished. That is, his life was now finished. He was ready to breathe his last. And now he shall be no more in this world, as he told his disciples and prayed in his great high priestly prayer, John 17:11. And like our Lord, this gives us great hope, because we'll be able to say, even as Paul does in 2 Timothy 4:7, I finished the course. Finished the course. It is finished. You will say the same thing. And when you finish the course, you'll say it's finished. I know now that there's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for me, awaiting me, that the righteous judge will present to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who love his appearing. All who love his finished work and his appearing. And he's coming very soon. Soon, now very soon, going to see the Lord. Number eight. It is finished. That is, the work of man's redemption and salvation is complete. The righteousness of God is fulfilled. The justice of God is forever satisfied. Number nine, it is finished. Broken forever is the power of sin. And Satan is a defeated foe. Number 10, it is finished. Death is swallowed up in victory, and grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. You didn't know there was so much in that tetelestai, did you? Oh, this is just scratching the surface. We have only begun. Number 11, it is finished. What Christ set out to do stands finished. His work on earth is done. John 17:4. I have finished the work that you gave me to do upon the earth. That's what he says there. His work is perfect. In Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is finished, is perfect. Even Moses knew that. Looking ahead. 1 Samuel 3:12, the Lord says through the prophet Samuel, when I begin, I will also make an end. And as he promised, he that began a good work will finish it. Epitaleo. Philippians 1:6. Then the mystery of God shall be finished. Colossians 2:2 and Revelation 10:7. Whatsoever God does is forever finished. You know that? You know what Ecclesiastes 3:14 says? I know that everything God does will remain forever. That must mean it's finished. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked. The word work there is asa, means to do or to make complete. God has made it complete. God has finished the work that men should fear him. Asa, A-S-A-H, is the same Hebrew word found in Psalm 22:31, the final verse of Psalm 22, from which its Greek equivalent, tetelestai, John 19:30, is taken. That same word, that same verse. Psalm 22:31, they will come and will declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that it is finished. Asa. As Jesus hung upon the cross in agony of body, soul, and spirit, bearing your sins and mine in his body, being punished for you and for me, he quoted Psalm 22 in its entirety, which details his sufferings and death. That's your assignment, is to read Psalm 22 slowly, three times. You'll pick up some wonderful things if you do. It's your assignment. You see, why would you give an assignment? This is church. This isn't grade school, grammar school. This is the school of Christ. This is the University of Jesus. So I gave you an assignment. Do it. Don't question me. It will help you immensely. So he quoted Psalm 22 in its entirety, which details his sufferings and his death. This we know from the seven statements spoken from the cross. The first verse, Psalm 22:1, is, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is Psalm 22:1, quoted in Matthew 27:46. And the last verse, Psalm 22:31, John 19:30, it is finished. So he must have quoted the entire psalm. And then finally, Psalm 31:5, into your hands I commit my spirit, O God of truth. Since all of these wonderful things are so, what must we do? Behold, believe, and then be urgent without being anxious, and be transformed without travail. Romans 12:2. By letting or allowing God to will and work in you. Philippians 2:13. As you wait by faith through the Spirit for the hope or realization of righteousness, in Galatians 5:5, effortless attainment. If you're a believer, the least you can do each day when you rise is say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And live each day in attitude of gratitude, which is the best way to live anyway. By far the happiest way. You know, people that are grateful are not unhappy. You know that, right? They're happy because they realize all that is there. And they've come to appreciate it greatly. Recognize and appreciate what God has done. So live in gratitude. Grow in gratitude and grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, I suggest you carefully consider what history and the Bible declares to be the truth, that Jesus died on the cross, an innocent and righteous man. He died for nothing he had done. He didn't do anything. The testimony of the thief on the cross next to him, and was buried in the earth. And on the third day was raised from death, proving his payment acceptable to God, so that you, by merely believing in him, might receive the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation, courtesy of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's how everyone who has ever been saved got saved. By believing that Jesus paid it all. Remember J. Vernon McGee, Back to the Bible? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together, though your sins be like scarlet, etc. Jesus paid it all. Elvina M. Hall, 1865. That's when it was written. In all these ways and so much more, it is finished. The scope is vast and universal. And it is unto all, listen carefully, it is unto all and upon all who will only believe. Listen to Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed to by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Whether you're a Hindu, a heathen, or a homo, whether you're a Muslim, a Mormon, or a moron, a witch, a warlock, or a Jehovah Witness, it doesn't make any difference. You say, well, why would you say such things? Well, because some of you won't remember anything else except this. And maybe it'll recall the message to your mind. Romans 3:22, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, full satisfaction of divine justice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There it is. How can this be unless it is finished? And finished it is. Herein is universal salvation, that all who believe are saved forever by and because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's universal salvation. In his opening argument, Kevin Bacon, you know who Kevin Bacon is? I know you never watch movies or TV, you religious people. In his opening argument, Kevin Bacon as prosecutor Jack Ross, not related to Chris, I don't think, maybe. In the movie, A Few Good Men says, these are the facts of the case and they are indisputable. Many have tried to disprove what Christ did, and none have been able to do so. Not one. In fact, many who tried became ardent believers, and more than a few of them ended up dedicating their lives to proclaiming what they once vowed to disprove. More than a few good men have died for the cause. So enter in to this finished work salvation, wherein and whereby everything God requires has been provided by Jesus Christ. All you must do is come and get it. So what are you waiting for? We like to give an invitation to anyone who wishes to come over from death into life, from unbelief to faith, and from darkness into light. And we urge them to do it in the moment provided. Remember, it is finished, and you're invited to join the victorious celebration. If what I said today is true, and I gave you plenty of documentation, you really should seize the moment to believe and be saved. I'm not talking to most of you. I'm talking to some of you somewhere, maybe on sermon audio. See, that's the thing. We had sermon audio. It goes all over the world. People from many nations and many states in the United States listen to our little messages from our little church here in Houston, PA. And we're so thankful and grateful for that. Our impact is great because of the internet. So we appreciate the internet, what God has done through the internet. Anyway, so you can pray if you so desire. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, accepting his finished work sacrifice for my sins and your complete forgiveness and acceptance because of what he has done, because of his finished work. Thank you for saving me. And from this day forward, show me many things that I will learn and need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're finished. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all these wonderful things that you gave us today. Father, may we hear them again and again and let them go down deep, sink down deep into the inner recesses of our innermost being. Light our human spirit, which is the candle of the Lord, our innermost being, with these truths, so that we might have this relationship, this simple and singular relationship with our finished work, Savior Jesus Christ. Not that we might know something, but know someone, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that we might go out on this high note, those of us who don't have much longer to be here. And it's getting closer than when we first believed, a lot closer than when we first believed. We just thank you for all of these things. And we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. And Vicki, if you would come up, please. And we'll close with a wonderful chorus or hymn. In Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.